This evening, what I'd like for us to consider is the question of whether we are happy. The song that we just sang was a very good one for bringing in this topic. I don't know if Evan looked in my notes or not. Oh, he just randomly picked it, so it worked well anyway. But are we truly happy? See, for many people, the answer would be, well, I would be happy if... And then something would have to change, then I could be happy. Sometimes the change is something simple. Well, once I lose another 10 pounds, I'll be happy. I mean, that's not quite so simple. But often the demand is something really what a person has no control over. If I were 5 inches taller, I'd be happy. Don't have much control over that. You know, Abraham Lincoln once noted, he said, most people are about as happy as they make up their minds to be. And that's really true. Happiness isn't something given to you. Happiness is how you choose to see your life. Kenneth Cooper told this story, and I love this story. Hope you haven't heard it before. But it really illustrates the point. He said, I heard a story recently about a king in Africa who had a close friend whom he knew since childhood. This friend had a habit of looking at every situation, whether good or ill, and remarking, this is good. One day the king and his friend were out on a hunting expedition. The friend was loading the guns and then handing them to the king. Apparently, he did something wrong in preparing one gun, for after taking the gun, the king pulled the trigger and his thumb was blown off. Examining the king's hand, the friend remarked, as usual, this is good. To which the king replied, no, this is not good, and proceeded to send his ex-friend to jail. About a year later, the king was hunting in an area that he should have stayed clear of. Cannibals captured him and took him into their village. They tied his hands, stacked some wood, and set up the stake and bound him to the stake. But as they were about to light the fire, one of them noticed the king was missing a thumb. In their superstitious beliefs, they never ate anyone who was less than whole. So they untied the king and let him go. When he returned home, the king remembered his friend. In remorse, he went to the jail and to speak to him. You were right, he said. It was good that my thumb was blown off. And then he proceeded to tell him all that had happened. I'm very sorry for sending you to this jail for this. It was bad of me to do this. No, his friend replied, this is good. What do you mean this is good? How could it be good when I sent my friend to jail for a year? If I had not been in jail, then I would have been with you. You can choose whether you are happy or not. Take a look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. It's a command. It's not a feeling. Well, when you feel happy, rejoice. The command is to rejoice. We have reasons to do so. It's because of our trust in God, Christians can be happy even while dealing with problems. See, happy is a person who trusts in God. Take a look at Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16 and verse 20. He who gives attention to the word will find good. And blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. Blessed is another word for being happy. When we trust in God, we find happiness. Or as the proverb writer also said in Proverbs 3 starting with verse 5. Proverbs 3, starting with verse 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight." Trust in the Lord with all our heart. That's part of the demand we talked about this morning. That God requires all of us. We're supposed to give our entire trust to God, and then because of that, we can choose to be happy. People tend to think that only when they're in control can they possibly be happy. You see this all the time. I remember this distinctly when I worked for a large company. The employee thinks that life will be so much better when he becomes the boss, because then he'll have control over what's going on. When people find out that their choices are limited, then they make themselves miserable. If they can't have it their way, then they're unhappy. But the hard reality is that little in our life is really under our control. Even the things that we oftentimes think is in our control is really not. Life, though, is in God's hands. And the question is then, how much do we trust God? Yet the one thing that really is in our control that we oftentimes forget, the one thing I really have control over is my attitude. I get to choose how I see things. I found this wonderful quote. I found it interesting because the person who said it, I never thought of him as a deep thinker. But the quote goes, "Each morning when I open my eyes, I say to myself, I, not events, have the power to make me happy or unhappy today. I can choose which it shall be. Yesterday is dead, tomorrow hasn't arrived, yet I have just one day, today, and I'm going to be happy in it." That, by the way, was from Groucho Marx. But it's an interesting attitude to realize that I get to choose my attitude. I can't control events, but I can choose my attitude. When we look through the scriptures, we find out that happiness is found in righteous living. Take a look at Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. And we're going to start with verse 11. Titus 2, starting with verse 11. "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age." This is how God teaches us. God teaches us to live righteously in this present age. And yes, I know, sometimes we look at the world and see all the things are going wrong, and all the craziness that comes on, and society's changing things and making laws that you say, well, why are they ever making these type of laws? The answer still is the same. We're instructed to live righteously in this present age. And living righteously means filling our minds with wholesome things. Take a look at Philippians. Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 8. "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things." Think about it. What do you spend your time talking about? What do you spend your time thinking about? little over a year ago, I was looking at various people's Facebook pages, notes, and they said, you know, most people use their statuses to complain about what's going wrong in their life. Every once in a while, somebody will say what's going good. But a lot of people were using it to say what's going wrong. I decided I'm going to stop that. And maybe rarely I'll mention something that went wrong. I started saying I'm going to put positive things on there. So if you ever look at mine, it's got a whole bunch of flowers on it. Because I think they're positive. But anyway. But you start looking and saying, okay, what's going right? What are the positive things that are happening in my life? Just purposely choose to focus on the honorable things, the pure things. Are there bad things out in the world? Yes. Do they need to be dealt with? Yes, in their own time and place. But I get to choose what I focus on and what I dwell on. When we live righteously, then there's a nice side of benefit. There's no guilt over the things that we've done. Take a look at Romans 13. Romans 13, and in verse 3, it says, "For rulers are not a cause for fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you'll have the praise from the same." I've run across young people terrified of when the cops go by. I start talking about this little problem. You know, you notice it real quick. Well, if you did what was right, then there would be no fear of the cops. It's your own guilt that you're expressing. A lot of people live in fear of God. If we focus on doing what's right, there would be no fear of God. Not in the sense of being afraid of what God might do to me. Because I'm doing what God said. Even if I looked in my past and said, well, look at all the horrible things I've done. The answer would be, those are the things I did in the past. I'm not that person anymore. I'm the one who now chooses to do what's right. So Psalms chapter 97. Psalms 97 in verse 11. Light is sown like a seed for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Be glad in the Lord, you righteous one, and give thanks to his holy name. We do what is right. We live by God's rules by being upright. And happiness is a result. Or as the psalmist said in Psalms 37. Psalms 37, starting with verse 3, it says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday." We put God first. We do what God wants. And we can be happy. Happiness also, though, comes with our worship to God. Worshiping is giving God glory. But it also brings happiness to men. Take a look at Psalms 95. Psalms 95, starting with verse 1. "O come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods." Think about it. When we come before God, if we're coming before God with doom and gloom, how's that praising Him? Imagine everyone who ever visited the present always came with a gloomy look and a gloomy face. You'd be wondering what's wrong. Why do we go before our Creator with gloom in our hearts? We ought to see that learning from God is a delight. Take a look at Psalms 119. Psalms 119, and look at verse 24. Your testimonies are also my delight. They are my counselors. When we learn from God, it should be a delight. It should be a joy to have it spelled out for us, to have us told, to know what we ought to do and not have to guess. If nothing else, think of all the blessings God has given us. Daily blessings that are way too numerous to count. Even the rain that we've had, we went with a month without rain. We got rain. It's a blessing. All the trees are blooming. That's a blessing. There's little things that we can be, so many things that we can be thankful for. The jobs that we have, the work that we have, the food that we are able to put on a table, the friends that we have, the family that we have. You can start numbering them out, and it'd be hard to come to an end to that list. And we are God's creation. We are the work of His hands. He made us. We should take joy in that. Take a look at Jude. Jude, down towards the end, in verse 24. It says, now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of His glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. God is able to make us stand before Him with joy. He's the one who formed us. Joy is also found in contentment. So many people, the old cliche, the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. And the answer to that is no, it's just on the other side of the fence. It's the same green as the other side. The only thing that makes it different is it's somebody else's grass. A lot of times we look at other people's lives and we say, well, if I had their life, I would be happier. Well, that's only because you're not living their life. You don't know all their problems. But you're very well acquainted with your own personal ones. Sometimes we just end up exchanging one set of problems for another. Or at least desiring to do so. See, the trick is to find satisfaction in life as it is. Take a look at Philippians chapter 4 again. This time, Philippians 4, verse 11. Not that I speak to you from want, for I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with the humble means. I also know how to live in prosperity. In every circumstance, I've learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Therein lies the trick. Paul says, it doesn't matter what the circumstances are, I can get through it because of Christ. Let's just say that, you know, something disastrous happens and we live under a horrible government system again. Can you still find happiness? And the answer is yes. Can a disaster strike and some untold thing, you know, really occur? Can we still find happiness? The answer is yes. Oh yeah, life will be tough. But we can find happiness in whatever circumstances we live. See, even in the hard times, we can find happiness by understanding the long-term results. Take a look at James. James chapter 1 and verse 2. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that testing your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect results, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Even in the hardships, count it joy. If nothing else, I'm learning. I'm being trained. I'm getting stronger. And then we also understand that we have friends along with us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that you are a sharer of our sufferings, so also you are sharers of our comfort. Notice what Paul's saying there. It's kind of confusing at first when you read through it. But he says, when I go through sufferings, when I go through hardships, I'm learning how to endure. I'm getting the comfort from God that helps me help other people through their problems. And when things are going well, I'm still in good shape to help other people through their problems. And either way, I have comfort. And I can share with other people. Happiness is also found in our labors, in our efforts. In Psalms 128, and we're going to look at verse 2. When you shall eat the fruit of your hands, you will be happy, and it will be well with you. When we do things and we accomplish something, oh, that's so much fun. It is so nice to see something done, completed, even a small task. It gives us joy. God designed it that way. So we should enjoy the work that we have because it's God's gift to us. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 18. Here is what I've seen to be good and fitting, to eat, to drink, and to enjoy oneself in all one's labor in which he toils under the sun during the few years of his life which God has given him. For this is his reward. Furthermore, as for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth, he has also empowered him to eat from them and to receive his reward and rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God. If you work hard and you succeed, that's God's gift to you. But even when you're working hard, that's God's gift to you. Because you're accomplishing things. That's a part of what God gave us, to be able to put food on the table, to be able to have something to drink, a place to sleep. Those are all gifts from God. They come from our work, and so our work is also a gift. Over in Romans chapter 11, Romans chapter 12, verse 11. Talking about to the Christians, it says, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. We give effort in our service to God. And again, it should be a joy. It ought to be a joy to be able to bring the gospel to people. It ought to be a joy to be able to reach out. Even when a lot of times it seems like everybody closes the door, I'm working for the Lord. And that too is a joy. And we can enjoy the results of our work. Take a look at Isaiah chapter 3. Isaiah chapter 3, and in verse 10, say to the righteous that it will go well with them, for they will eat the fruit of their actions. When we do what is right, when we're serving God, we're putting our effort into it, there's joy in it. And we will see the results of our labor. In fact, Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, after discussing the second coming and the end of the world, 1 Corinthians 15, down at the end of the chapter, verse 58, it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. See, sometimes we get caught up in wanting to see immediate results. The things that we do that serve God are never useless. They always have benefits. And you might not see them for years. I've told stories before that when I was in college, I already made up my mind to be a preacher. I've actually preached part-time for a little congregation out in the country. But all the time during college, I was trying to reach the people on the campus to where I was at, various friends. Had a few Bible studies, sat down with some. There's one boy that actually got along really well with, but I mean, every time anything religious got brought up, he literally would run for the door. Or he would change the topic onto something he knew that I just couldn't stand. He would start talking about who slept with who last night. Just anything that to shut down the conversation as far as religion goes. Could never figure him out. Nice guy, other than that. And when I got done with college, I was looking back at it and saying, you know what, I'm going to be a really bad preacher. Because all the people I tried to teach, I didn't get one response. Thinking, you know, wow, you know, this is tougher than I thought it was going to be. When I moved here, the year I moved here, so it'll be 15 years after I left college, or more, my friend called me up from Germany. I hadn't heard from him since I left college. He called me up, just out of the blue. Couldn't believe I was talking to him. Asked him how things were going. He said, I just called you to thank you. For what? He said, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be a Christian today. I said, now what are you talking about? You're the one who never would even talk to me about it. He said, yeah. He started explaining that his roommate had gotten into the international churches of Christ, which use a lot of mind control techniques and stuff like that. And he saw what happened to his roommate, and he knew I was a member of the Church of Christ. He didn't know the difference. So anytime it came up, he was shut down because he wanted nothing to do with that. Well, after he left college, he went down to Texas. Met a young lady, got interested. Found out real shortly she was a member of the Church of Christ. He said, my first impulse was a run. My second impulse was, well, Jeff wasn't such a bad guy. So he stayed. She converted him. And he became a member of the church and started preaching and doing other things wherever he was at. You don't know what kind of impact you make on people. Even when you think everything is going wrong, you're still making an impact. Happiness is not in things. Now, happiness is not a new car. It's not a big home. It's not a new toy. Happiness is spiritual. It's an outlook on life. Take a look at Colossians chapter 3. We'll end our lesson with this verse. Colossians chapter 3. Starting with verse 1. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things that are on the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. Put your mind where it belongs. In heaven there is no tears. And there's where our focus ought to be. Hope you'll think about these things. If there's anyone here today who's not yet a child of God, there is no better time than right now to put on Christ, to live according to His laws. If there's anyone here who is a child of God, would like to pray as their brother on behalf. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song of the selected.